Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. I Don't Want to Talk About It. Overcoming the Secret Legacy of Male Depression by Terence Real is a work of popular psychology and clinical nonfiction focused on depression as it appears in men, drawing on Real's experience as a family therapist. The book argues that male depression often remains hidden because many men are trained to reject vulnerability and to experience emotional pain as shameful or unmanly. Instead of presenting only as sadness, withdrawal, or despair, depression may appear through anger, compulsive work, substance abuse, emotional distance, sexual acting out, or controlling behavior. Real combines clinical observation, family systems thinking, cultural criticism, and personal reflection to explain how untreated pain damages intimate relationships and can be passed from one generation to the next. The book's purpose is both diagnostic and restorative to help men, partners, families, and clinicians recognize covert depression and open a route toward emotional honesty, treatment, and relational repair. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, covert male depression as behavior rather than admitted sadness. A central contribution of the book is Real's distinction between overt and covert depression. Overt depression resembles the more familiar clinical picture: visible sadness, loss of energy, hopelessness, and an acknowledged sense of suffering. Covert depression, by contrast, is hidden even from the man experiencing it. Real argues that many men do not say they are depressed because they have learned to translate pain into action, avoidance, or control. The result is that depression may be misread as a character flaw, addiction, temper problem, career obsession, or inability to love. This reframing matters because it shifts attention from surface behavior to underlying emotional injury. A man who drinks heavily, works compulsively, erupts in rage, or withdraws from his family may still be responsible for the harm he causes, but the pattern may also indicate an untreated mood disorder and a lifelong habit of disowning pain. Real's concept does not excuse destructive behavior. Instead, it widens the diagnostic lens so that treatment can address both the outward symptom and the buried despair that sustains it. Secondly, masculine socialization makes emotional need feel like failure. Real places male depression within a cultural framework, rather than treating it only as an individual medical condition. He argues that boys are often taught to separate from tenderness, dependency, and open grief in order to be accepted as masculine. The lesson is rarely stated as a formal rule, but it is reinforced through family expectations, peer pressure, shame, competition, and admiration for toughness. When emotional need is coded as weakness, a man may lose access to the very signals that would tell him he is suffering. This helps explain why depression can become invisible. The feeling exists, but the language for it has been discouraged. Real's analysis is especially concerned with the cost of stoicism when it becomes emotional amputation. The man who cannot admit hurt may appear strong, productive, or self-contained, while internally he becomes isolated and reactive. The book's cultural argument is important because it avoids reducing the issue to personal weakness. It shows how a social ideal of invulnerability can produce private misery and public harm. Thirdly, the father-to-son legacy of untreated pain. The subtitle's phrase, secret legacy, points to the book's concern with transmission across generations. Real describes how depression in men can move through families not only through biology, but through emotional climate, neglect, humiliation, silence, and modeled behavior. A father who never learned to face his own pain may communicate it indirectly through rage, absence, contempt, addiction, or emotional shutdown. A son may then absorb both the father's suffering and the rule that such suffering must never be named. This creates a cycle in which each generation inherits wounds without receiving tools for understanding them. Real's emphasis on the father-son relationship gives the book much of its force because it connects adult symptoms to childhood adaptation. A boy may survive by becoming tough, pleasing, numb, or defiant, but those survival strategies can later undermine intimacy. The book is not saying that fathers alone cause male depression, and this focus has been criticized as narrow. Still, Real's generational lens is useful because it shows why healing often requires more than symptom relief. It requires breaking a family pattern of silence. Fourthly, relational immaturity as a core symptom of hidden depression. Real argues that male depression often becomes most visible in intimate relationships. The issue is not simply that a depressed man feels bad. It is that he may be unable to remain emotionally present with a partner, child, or family member. The book describes this as a failure of relational maturity, meaning a limited capacity for vulnerability, mutuality, accountability, and emotional repair. A man may want closeness but experience it as exposure, criticism, or loss of control. He may respond by withdrawing, attacking, numbing himself, or demanding that others manage his discomfort. This interpretation is clinically significant because it links private depression with relational damage. Partners often experience the man not as sad, but as cold, angry, unavailable, or unpredictable. Children may experience him as frightening or unreachable. Reel's framework helps explain why families can suffer around a depression that has never been named. It also makes clear that recovery must include relational responsibility. Feeling pain does not remove the obligation to stop harming others, but understanding the hidden depression can make real accountability and change more possible. Lastly, healing requires emotional excavation and accountable repair. Although the book is analytical, it is also oriented toward recovery. Reel presents healing as a process of uncovering disowned pain, naming depression accurately, and learning new ways to relate. This involves more than encouraging men to talk about feelings in a vague sense. It requires confronting shame, recognizing defensive behaviors, seeking appropriate therapy or support, and rebuilding damaged connections through accountability. The book's therapeutic logic is that covert depression loses power when the man can stop converting pain into aggression, addiction, avoidance, or domination. Reel also stresses that families and partners need clearer understanding of what they are seeing. If they misread hidden depression only as stubbornness or cruelty, they may miss the psychological pattern. If they excuse harm because a man is wounded, they may enable the pattern. The balanced approach is to connect compassion with boundaries. The book is less a step-by-step manual than a framework for recognition and change. Its strength is conceptual clarity and clinical vividness. Readers seeking highly structured exercises may need additional practical resources. In conclusion, I don't want to talk about it. It is especially useful for men who recognize patterns of numbness, anger, compulsive achievement, addiction, or emotional distance, but have not understood these patterns as possible signs of depression. It is also valuable for partners, adult children, family members, and clinicians who are trying to understand why some men seem unreachable, reactive, or unable to sustain intimacy. The practical benefit is recognition. The book gives readers a vocabulary for symptoms that often hide behind culturally accepted masculine behavior. Its intellectual benefit is broader because it links depression to gender training, family systems, trauma, and relational consequences rather than treating it as a purely private mood state, compared with many self-help books on men's emotions. Reel's work stands out for combining clinical insight with a sustained argument about masculinity and generational inheritance. It is not merely a guide to feeling better, nor is it only a critique of gender roles. Its distinctiveness lies in showing how unacknowledged male pain can become outwardly destructive, and how naming that pain can become the beginning of responsibility. Readers should not expect a complete treatment program, but they can expect a clear and influential framework for understanding male depression as both a personal illness and a relational legacy. If you would like to support Terrence Reel, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.